Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 17, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in a paragraph in 1 John 5 that deals with prayer. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, we have a great promise with regard to prayer. 1 John 5, 14 says, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him," God the Father. Now, we, referring to John and every believer in spiritual adulthood, every believer that has lived the spiritual life, has grown up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As a result of doing that, you know who and what God is. You know the essence of God. You know the plan of God. You know the will of God. And because you know God, you have maximum confidence in God. Only the spiritually adult believer has great confidence in God and in the Word of God. So this starts out and it's looking at the winner believer, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity, and that believer has maximum confidence in God. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, according to His will, critical in this promise here, He hears us. In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of Him. That's the great promise, verses 14 and 15. The key there, according, praying according to His will. And that, where do you learn about the will of God? In the Word of God. So you find a sound Bible teaching church and assemble consistently and faithfully and learn the Word of God. And the more you learn of the Word of God, you will know what the will of God is. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Now that brings us to verse 16, and in verse 16, we have a limitation of prayer. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, and that is maximum divine discipline. Maximum divine discipline from God is the dying discipline, or the sin unto death. Now, every member of the human race sins, believers and unbelievers, every member of mankind sins. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All mankind is born, we come into the world physically alive, but in spiritual death. The imputation of Adam's sin to the genetically formed sin nature at physical birth results in all mankind committing personal sins. Every member of the human race commits personal sins. The emphasis in our verse is that every believer in Jesus Christ commits sin. Just because you do commit sin, that does not mean you're going to come under dying discipline from the Lord and die the sin unto death. The sin unto death is the result of prolonged residence in Satan's cosmic system. You see, you have a choice of where you're going to live your life. God has given us this fantastic spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are commanded, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So God has given us this fantastic spiritual life. It only can be lived by the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. Now you have a choice after salvation. God, you have a choice of living this unique spiritual life God has for you in fellowship with God, or you can choose to sin, saying yes to the lust patterns of the sin nature, and that's the sin nature is Satan's inside agent that gets you into his cosmic system. So you can live your life in the spiritual life, or you can live your life in Satan's cosmic system. If you get out of fellowship with God through sin, and you stay out of fellowship with God, for a prolonged time, you keep on sinning, keep on sinning. You don't get back into fellowship with God. You don't use rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring you to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. But if you choose not to do that, you get out of fellowship with God through sin, you're now in Satan's cosmic system, and you stay there, and stay there, and live your life there. And the longer you live in that time of cosmic living, cosmic death, well, God will then, because He loves you, because God loves you, He will discipline you, because He doesn't want to see any of you crash and burn. So when you get out of fellowship with God, you're making bad decisions, you're operating by your sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, and you continue that longer and longer, then God steps in because He loves you, and you're His son. It's a family matter. Discipline is a family matter. And so the father steps in and he gives you discipline. He spanks you because he wants you to wake up. You're going the wrong way. You're going to fall off the cliff. And God doesn't want to see you fall off the cliff. So he spanks you, warning discipline. And hopefully you learn from that. And then you rebound, get back in fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life, and then you move on and live the spiritual life. But if you don't, then God brings along second category, intensive discipline. And hopefully then you will wake up and say, and rebound and get back into fellowship with God and get back into the spiritual life and live that spiritual life and advance to maturity. But if you don't even wake up at that point, you continue on, that prolonged life in the cosmic system will result in God disciplining you with maximum discipline, and that is death. He'll just bring you home. You won't lose your salvation. That's impossible. He'll just bring you home because you're making too much of a mess of your life and everything else or everyone around you by your cosmic living. It's not one sin. The sin unto death is not one sin. It is a lifestyle of sin out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. And when that is true, then you go through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you still don't wake up, dying discipline. So again, just because you sin, that does not mean you're going to die the sin unto death under maximum discipline. The sin unto death is the result of prolonged residence living in Satan's cosmic system. Every decision you make is either good or a bad decision. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills increases your options for greater decision. Bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system results in running out of options. And when you run out of options, the result is dying discipline from the Lord. The believer making good decisions to live the spiritual life still sins, but he keeps short accounts with God. When he sins, he knows he sins. He uses God's problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And you get up and move on to glorify God in your life to the maximum. You are living your life to please the Lord. And therefore, in pleasing the Lord, you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So, the believer making good decisions to live the spiritual life still sins, but he uses the problem-solving device of rebound, gets back into fellowship with God, and then moves on in his spiritual life. When you see a believer commit a sin which will not terminate in maximum divine discipline, he's out of fellowship with God, you can pray for him. Your prayer cannot force his volition, nor God's volition. Your prayer must be that this believer who is out of fellowship with God comes to his senses. You pray that he becomes aware of the fact that he has a problem. That's how you pray. And you don't get on the telephone and call everybody and say, I'm just telling you this so you can pray more effectively. No, that's gossiping and judging and slandering. Don't ever do that. You're the one at fault at that point. But you pray that God will work in his heart so he comes to his senses and he realizes that he has a problem. You don't gossip, you don't malign, you don't judge. You simply pray that he will come to his senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and his spiritual life. So we have in verse 16, If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him. To those who commit sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death. However, the verse concludes, however, there is a sin unto death. There is a sin terminating in death under maximum divine discipline. And he says in the end of the verse, and I do not recommend that anyone should pray about that. All right. And then we started to summarize verse 16. This is a very important verse. And it's misunderstood by a lot of different people. But you are going to have this all clearly understood from the Word of God. So there is a sin terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, dying discipline, and I do not recommend that anyone should pray about that. Now, we had 8 points in summary, and you probably thought you were done. Wrong. We got 6 more. So number 1 was the prayer of a grace-righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. That's James 5:16. Point 2, as a result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, to have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. As a result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the winner believer has great intercessory prayer for his fellow believers. Point 3, the winner believer's impersonal love for all results in great intercessory prayer for others. Point 4, but 1 John 5:16 declares that even intercessory prayer has certain limitations, especially for that believer that God is administering maximum discipline, the sin unto death. 5, if God is going to take a believer home to be with him with maximum divine discipline, then all the prayer in the world will not help. That was point 5. If you pray for something which is not in the plan of God, if you pray for something that is not in the will of God, that prayer will not be answered. You see, that's verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to his will, according to his will. So if you pray for something that is not in the will of God, that prayer will not be answered. Even if you are in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, even if you are a mature believer that has virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Point 6, you cannot pray for something that is contrary to the will of God. You cannot pray for something that is contrary to the will of God. You cannot offer a prayer that is against the will of God and expect to receive a positive answer. Point 7, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And a part of the will of God and prayer is given in 1 John 5, verse 16. Point 8, prayer cannot reverse the administration of the sin terminating in death, the sin unto death, because this involves the sovereignty of God. Prayer cannot reverse the administration of the sin terminating in death, the sin unto death, because it involves the sovereignty of God. You see, every decision you make as a believer, God has given us all a free will. We have a free will. From that free will, we can make good decisions or we can make bad decisions. We can make good decisions for God and for the Word of God, and good decisions to live the spiritual life, good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, good decisions to advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum, or we can make bad decisions. We got a free will. Every decision you make as a believer is either a good or a bad decision. If you make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, this will result in greater and greater options for greater decisions. However, if you make bad decisions to live your life out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, this will result in you running out of options. And when you run out of options, the result is the terminating in death maximum divine discipline. Point nine. Now we start with point nine. Point nine, there is only one door left open to the believer under maximum divine discipline, dying discipline. And that is rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, you see, then make good decisions consistently and faithfully to live that spiritual life. Now, there are a lot of Christians that I call them spiritual yo-yos. They've been living in the cosmic system. They're getting clobbered by the Lord they're getting spanked by the Lord with warning discipline, spanked by the Lord with intensive discipline. And it gets hurting really bad. And so they use rebound. They get back into fellowship. But they only stay in fellowship with God for a few minutes or hours or maybe even one day, and then back into the cosmic system, and they stay there for a long time. Then they rebound back into fellowship, then a yo-yo, back out again. And where are they living most of their life? Most of their life is being lived out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. The time they spend in fellowship with God, and these are the believers that use God's problem-solving device of rebound. The time that they spend in fellowship with God is minuscule. Very small, very little. The time they spend out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system is most of their life. So yeah, rebound key. Rebound is the last option that this believer has. And this is illustrated in the incestuous Corinthian. This believer was fornicating with his mother. We call that incest. And some believers in Corinth were praying for him. But their prayers could not be answered because the Apostle Paul had pronounced, and an apostle could do this, had pronounced the sin unto death on him. Now, we studied this in 1 Corinthians, but that was so long ago, some of you were youngsters at that time. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and this is specifically incest It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and sexual immorality of such a category as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife, and you have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, in order that the one who had done this deed might be removed from your midst. For I, Apostle Paul, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver this one over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Maximum divine discipline, dying discipline, the sin unto death, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul was an apostle. There are no apostles today. I'm not an apostle, and so I can't put all of you underneath, or any of you, or under the sin unto death. I am a pastor teacher. I am not an apostle. The last apostle was John, and he completed Revelation. And when he completed Revelation and died, that was the last apostle, John. There are no apostles today. There are pastor teachers. So this is something that an apostle could do, not a pastor teacher, but this believer was living most of his life. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. He is a believer in Jesus Christ, but he's living most of his life in Satan's cosmic system. He's living his life out of fellowship with God, and he just keeps on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And so he came to the point from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. And that's what we have here, 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. Now, when he came under dying discipline, it scared this believer to death. Almost to death. Right to the point of death. And he used the last option that he had. He used rebound. He acknowledged his sin to God. He was forgiven and cleansed and restored to fellowship with God. But not only that, he changed his M.O. He changed his M.O. He said in his mind, I may sin from time to time, but that is over. That is over. That is done. And he was now living the spiritual life. And, you see, he was removed from the congregation after Paul's instructions. He was removed from the congregation. But he not only got back in fellowship with God, he now is making good decisions. He's making decisions. He wants to live the spiritual life. He wants to glorify God. And now they won't let him back in. So they threw him out of the church. Now they won't let him back in the church. So in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has to say to them, now look, this fellow, he is recovered. He's back in fellowship with God. He's making good decisions to live the spiritual life. And you won't let him come back to the congregation and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now you need to forgive him and let him come back in. And that's 2 Corinthians. So point 10. When you see a believer commit a sin which will not terminate in dying discipline, you can pray for him. Intercessory prayer. And why do you do that? Because you have virtue love. You not only have personal love for God the Father, but that motivates great impersonal love for your fellow believers. Those who are making good decisions and those who are making bad decisions. And so you pray for them with powerful and effective prayer. So when you see a believer commit a sin which will not terminate in dying discipline, you can pray for him. Now, when you pray for him, your prayers cannot force his volition nor God's volition, the sovereignty of God. God is the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. He's the potter, and we're the clay. 11, your prayer for him is that he will come to his senses. You pray that God will do whatever it takes to work in his heart so that he will come to his senses and become aware that he has a problem. Your prayer is you pray to God the Father, do whatever it takes, sir, to work in this believer's heart so he comes to his senses and becomes aware of the fact that he has a problem. 12, what you absolutely must not do is get into judging and slandering and maligning, gossiping. Those are all sins of the tongue. Then now you're wrong. You're out of line. You're out of fellowship with God. In fact, that's some of the worst sins you can ever commit. Sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning, gossip. And you see behind that, what motivates that? Mental attitude sins. So mental attitude sins, that's wrong. And then the mental attitude sins are followed by sins of the tongue, that's wrong. And you judge people. So what you absolutely must not do is get into sins of the tongue and gossip and slander, malign, and judge your fellow believer. 13, when you do this, you are now out of fellowship with God. Now you are in Satan's cosmic system. And not only that, you come under triple compound divine discipline. At that point, you come under triple compound divine discipline. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he wants everybody to get this. This is very, very important. Matthew chapter 7. All right, we have stop judging. He's giving a mandate. This is a command. Stop judging, or you too will be judged. Now, again, as I pointed out, this is triple compound divine discipline. First of all, if you judge others, you have, first of all, behind that was a mental attitude sin. There's divine discipline for that mental attitude sin. That's the first category. Secondly, that mental attitude sin motivated sin of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning. There's divine discipline for that. That's two. And then, whatever you accuse this other believer of doing, there's discipline that goes with that. That now, it comes off of him and goes to you. Triple compound divine discipline. You don't want to go there. Life's too short. Life's too short to be under triple compound divine discipline. So don't ever, ever get into judging. Stop judging, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, whatever you accuse them of, whatever, you will be judged for that. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Triple compound divine discipline. And then the Lord goes on. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye. The log in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So when you do this, whatever you absolutely must not gossip, slander, malign, judge your fellow believer. When you do this, you are out of fellowship with God. Now you're in the cosmic system, and you come under triple compound divine discipline. Matthew 7:1-5. 14. So, when it comes to intercessory prayer, you must distinguish between sin not terminating with maximum divine discipline, with the sins prolonged living in the cosmic system, which do terminate with the sin unto death. That's 1 John 5:16. Now, we're not quite done with this. John goes on in verse 17. And he says, all unrighteousness is sin. This is the nominative singular feminine of pas, plus the nominative of the noun adikia, plus the present active indicative of ami, and the predicate nominative of hamartia. The adjective pas looks like this in the Greek. P-A-S, pas. Now, generally, it means all. Pas emphasizes the individual members of the class denoted by the noun that it modifies. In our verse, that noun is adikia, unrighteousness. Pas means every category of unrighteousness, all categories of unrighteousness. So it means every, any and every, the whole of. And adikia A-D-I-K-I-A, adikia. Adikia includes all unknown sins as well as all known sins. The present active indicative of ami is, and hamartia is the function of the believer living out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system. Prolonged life. Every category of unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. And this is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of ami plus the nominative of hamartia with the objective negative u plus the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative of thanatos. Now the conjunction chi. Now, this is, make sure you pay attention. Normally, you see, some of you are already had, you see, oh yeah, chi, connective, means and, I know that. Wrong. Sometimes, most of the time, it does, but not here. This is an adversative chi, adversative. And it may be translated, but, however, and yet. And we'll translate it, and yet. And then the present active indicative of ami, there is. And the present tense is a customary present. There is a timelessness to this use of the present. It does not say that something is happening, but that something does happen. In other words, sin happens. You got that one. Sin happens. The active voice, believers out of fellowship with God, committing sins that will not terminate with death, the sin unto death, are performing the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the principle of the Word of God from the viewpoint of certainty, reality. And then hamartia is sin, and the objective negative, ooh, not. This is the exception to maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. And then we have ooh with pros plus the accusative of thanatos. Ooh, pros, thanatos. This is the objective negative ooh. Oh, you look like that in the Greek and the English. Not, no, not. And then pros, P-R-O-S, is literally face-to-face with. Face-to-face with. And then thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, that's death. So not face-to-face with death, or not terminating in death. Every category of unrighteousness, all wrongdoing, believer living out of fellowship with God and the cosmic system is sin, and yet there is sin not terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, or the sin unto death. All right? One. This is where intercessory prayer for fellow believers is powerful and effective. This is where intercessory prayer for fellow believers is powerful and effective. When you have, James 5:16, attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, at that point, when you attain grace righteousness and spiritual maturity, then your prayers are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much. And when you attain spiritual adulthood, you want to pray, and you include in your prayers fellow believers. And there's for all different kinds of things that those fellow believers are going through. So this is where intercessory prayer for fellow believers is powerful and effective. Two, this is the correct application of impersonal love for all. This is the correct application of impersonal love for all in intercessory prayer for a believer who has made some bad decisions and is out of fellowship with God and living in Satan's cosmic system, but he has not lived there long enough for the sin unto death. So this is the correct application of impersonal love for all in intercessory prayer for a believer who has made some bad decisions. He's out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, but he hasn't lived there long enough for maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Three, this sinning believer's residence in the cosmic system has not come to the point where he has run out of options. This sinning believer's residence in the cosmic system has not come to the point where he has run out of options, the sin unto death. Four, every category of unrighteousness is sin, and God's problem-solving device for sin in the life of the believer starts with rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It has to start there. Five. So, in your intercessory prayer for a fellow believer who is sinning, who is out of fellowship with God, You pray that God will work in his heart so that he comes to his senses, rebounds, gets back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. So in your intercessory prayer for a fellow believer who is sinning, who is out of fellowship with God, you pray that God will work in his heart so that he comes to his senses, rebounds, gets back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and the spiritual life. 6. God has given every believer and every member of mankind a volition. A volition, freedom. That volition can make good decisions, and that volition can make bad decisions. 7. You are free to make good decisions for God and his word, live the spiritual life he has for you, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. And there are believers that do that. And those are the winner believers. Winner believers who make good decisions for God and the Word of God. They find a sound Bible teaching church and they get in consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and advance to spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, and they glorify God to the maximum. But today in our country, that's very few, very, very few believers. Most are living their life out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. So you're free. You are free to make good decisions for God and his word, live the spiritual life, advance to maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. 8, you are also free to make bad decisions, to live out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And you are free to turn away from God. And you're free to reject the Word of God. You have a free will. So you are also free to make bad decisions, to live out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. Satan's cosmic system is made up of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you are in Satan's cosmic system, you become arrogant. And you think you know more than God, you know more than the Word of God, you know more than the pastor who teaches it. You're too damn arrogant to learn anything or grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're free to turn away from God. You're free to turn away from the Word of God. 9. Once the believer living in the cosmic system comes under the administration of the sin unto death, only that person alone can make the decision which would reverse maximum divine discipline. Once the believer living in the cosmic system comes under the administration of the sin unto death, only that person alone can make the decision which would reverse maximum divine discipline, using rebound, acknowledging his sins to God, and then not just being a yo-yo where you're out in the in and then back out, in and back out, in and back out. No. But changing your MO, changing your thinking from arrogance to humility, respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. That's humility. The antithesis of humility is arrogance. And as long as you're arrogant, you will always be a loser and living your life in Satan's cosmic system. Humility is respect for authority. The authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. You go from negative volition to positive volition. You change your MO and you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. 10. The believer under the administration of the sin unto death must take the responsibility for his own bad decisions. The believer under the administration of the sin unto death must take the responsibility for his own bad decisions. Illustration, the incestuous Corinthian. The administration of the sin unto death to him scared him, well, we say scared him to death, but not quite to death. He rebounded, he recovered, and he changed his thinking. That's called repentance. He changed his thinking. He changed his MO. He said, incest is over. I'm not going there. He said, I may commit sins from time to time, but I'm not going there. That's over. So, the cosmic system was out, the spiritual life was in. So you see, this is a very, very important passage. And I dare say you can count, less than 1% of Christians even understand what is being taught here. So 1 John 5:16-17. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin not terminating in death, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him, to those who commit sin not terminating in death, the sin unto death. However, there is a sin terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, dying discipline. And I do not recommend that anyone should pray about that. Every category of unrighteousness, all wrongdoing, believer living in the cosmic system, is sin. And yet there is sin not terminating in death. Maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Okay. Well, guess what that brings us to? The doctrine of the sin unto death. The doctrine of the sin unto death. We ought to be able to get point one. Let's see here. Yeah, I think we can get point one. Point one, definition and description. One, the sin terminating with death is maximum divine discipline from the integrity of God. First of all, God is sovereignty. And as the sovereign God, he's the quarterback. He calls all the plays. He's the potter, we're the clay. And not only is he the sovereign God, but he's a holy God. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue. And he's infinitely fair with all of his creation. So the sin terminating with death is maximum divine discipline from the essence of God, the sovereignty of God, and the integrity of God. Two, it is the highest form of disgrace that can occur to a believer. It's the highest form of disgrace that can occur to a believer. Three, divine discipline results from the believer using his own volition. He does no one else to, you can't blame anybody else. Divine discipline results from the believer using his own volition to create his own failures in life after salvation. Divine discipline results from the believer using his own volition to create his own failures in life after salvation. 4. The sin unto death is not a specific sin. It's not just one sin. The sin unto death is not a specific sin. It's not one sin. It's a lifestyle, living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. 5, it is the believer residing and functioning in Satan's cosmic system. It is the believer living his life out of fellowship with God, residing and functioning in Satan's cosmic system. 6, the sin unto death is maximum divine discipline. It's maximum divine discipline. Seven, it is the most powerful, it is the most painful experience in life. It is the most painful experience in life with no alleviation. Eight, it implies loss of rewards and blessing. That are given by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You can't lose your salvation. This person, God brings him home from making bad decisions. He just run out of options. And he never paid any attention to God in lovingly warning him and spanking him and giving him intensive discipline. He never listened to the Lord. The Lord was doing all of that out of love because the Lord didn't want to see him crash and burn, but he just continues on. So the Lord brings him home. He doesn't lose his salvation. He'll go home and be with the Lord. And then at the rapture, we receive our resurrection body. When we receive our resurrection body, we will be evaluated. We will be evaluated at the Bema seat. The Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, the church, every church age saint, we will all, following the rapture and receiving our resurrection body, we will all be before the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we will all be evaluated. And that evaluation will be, what did you do with your freedom that God gave you? What did you do with that free will? Did you use that free will to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and glorify God to the maximum? If you did, then there is waiting for you, misthos, misthos, rewards. Crowns and rewards given by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to those believers who make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and then advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. But for those believers who make bad decisions, to live out of fellowship with God, live in Satan's cosmic system, they will lose out. They will lose out. No reward. Award at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're in 1 John 5. I'm almost done studying 2 John. When I finish that, we're going to study 3 John. And after that, 4 John, 5 John, 6 John. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Turn over to 2 John for a moment. Second John, I have been studying, this has one of the most powerful verses to a warning for all of you. This is a warning for every one of you here tonight and everyone listening to this and getting this by email all over America and in nations around the world. This is a warning. Verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Beware, verse 8. Beware, you Christians, you believers. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. A full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. This is one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament scriptures, warning church age believers. When you are evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ, winner believers will receive great misthos reward. Loser believers will lose out on reward. That's coming up in 2 John. So you see, 1 John 5 correlates with 2 John, verses 7 and 8. All right, well, there you go. What was the last point I gave you on definition and description? 8? That's it. I told you we'd get point 1. There you go. With our heads bowed, Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.